Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. Revelation, chapter number 12, and verse number 7. Revelation, chapter 12, and verse number 7. Now, please remember, I told you this morning, if you're tired of being poor, I told you how to fix it this morning. If you just do it, I'm telling you, God will bless you and you'll have plenty. You'll have plenty. All right, Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Next verse. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now. Somebody say now. When the Bible says something happened right now, it's because of something somebody did. And the Bible says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Why did these four things all of a sudden begin to happen now? The Bible says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Put your Bibles down and let's raise our hands to the Lord and let's ask the Lord to anoint our minds and our spirits to receive the word of the Lord today. Dear God, I'm asking you right now as we lift our hands to you, I'm asking you, great God, that you would anoint our minds and anoint our hearts and anoint our ears to hear the word of God tonight. Let it be that the word of God would go forth, oh God, and find receptive soil tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, now let's clap our hands and shout one more time. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You know, having been raised around the United Pentecostal Church, if you would put that last verse of scripture up there, having been raised, now let's go to verse 11. Okay, leave that up there till I tell you, sister, if you would, please. So, having been raised in the United Pentecostal Church, I heard a lot of preaching and I heard a lot of singing and a lot of stuff that went along with Pentecost. But I want you to take note tonight about what the Bible says that these people that overcame the devil overcame him with. How many is interested in overcoming the devil? If you're interested in overcoming the devil, the first thing you need to do is find out what kind of stuff you need to whip that old boy. So the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say the blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. Say in the word of their testimony. Now, you know, honest to God, I'm going to be honest with you as I can be. I can remember many sermons and songs that were about the blood. Anybody remember some of the old songs about the blood? I'm just telling you, I still like to sing the old songs. And every morning when I'm at home, I got a little Bose box that's a Bluetooth. and it's got a real thumping, powerful speaker in it. And I just take my phone and I put it down on the old time hymnals, and then I push the button, it starts feeding that little Bose speaker, and I'm rocking out every morning in my bathroom while I'm getting ready. And you know what kind of songs I like to hear? I like to hear them songs that talk about the blood. I like to hear them songs that talk about the blood of Jesus. I like them songs where it starts talking about a crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary, and its waves which reach the throne of God are now sweeping over me. I'm telling you right now, can I say it again? The blood will never lose its power. I said the blood will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. I'm telling you, the blood will never ever lose its power. Maybe some of you older folks are familiar with when things would get a little binding back in the old days. My mama, my grandma, and different ones in my family, you know what I've heard them start doing? I've heard them start saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, the stock market might go up and the stock market might go down. Politics might be good and politics might be bad, but I'm telling you right now, the blood has never changed. I said the blood has never changed. It still washes black hearts and makes them as white as snow. I'm telling you, you need to be thankful for the blood. Oh God. The thought that he could take red blood and apply it to a sin-blackened heart and create someone that's part of his body is absolutely amazing to me. So we've heard a lot of stories about the blood of Jesus. I remember a missionary one time telling us that in the country that they were at, there was so much witchcraft that was going on that when they first got there, they said they put all their little whatnots up, got everything on the shelves and all the pictures on the wall. And they said about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, they said all of a sudden, every one of them little figurines started dancing and jumping on their own under demonic power because of witchcraft that was practiced against them. They pleaded with God, oh God, please help us, oh God. And they put all of them back up the next night, same thing. The third night, something dawned on their head. And all of a sudden, they bounded out of that bed and began to say, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything in the room settled down. Can I tell somebody, there's a devil that's on your trail that'll settle down a little bit if you begin to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I never forget one old preacher, he had been pushing the church to fast and pray, and boy, they got things stirred up. And so after a few weeks of doing that, the back door swung open. Here come an old boy in the garb of a wizard. And he came to put a hex on all of them. And he got in there. And the old pastor turned over to somebody and said, you know what? Tonight we're going to sing nothing but songs about the blood. And friend of mine, that old fellow was back there trying to do all of his little incantations. He was trying to do all of his little spells. He was trying to do all his little witchcraft. And all of a sudden that church reared back and started singing songs about the blood of Jesus Christ. And the more they sang, the further he backed. And the usher at the door said, the last thing I heard him say is, when you Pentecostals are right and you got the blood flowing, hit the stop sign to us. I'm telling somebody right now, you don't have to put up with a bunch of harassment by hell. You can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Now, I've heard lots of sermons about the blood. Heard lots of songs about the blood. Lots of songs. But you know what? I can't remember a whole lot of sermons that I've ever heard about my testimony. Heard a lot about the blood. But according to that right there, the Bible says they overcame him by two things, not one. I'm thankful for the blood. But I'm telling you, it takes more than just the blood to overcome your enemy and make you successful in this living for God business. And the Bible said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is what God does that none of us can do. But testimony is what you can do that nobody else can do. You know that God will let you sit there and squirm in your problem and your situation when he has given you the ability. He's already poured the blood out on you and he's standing there waiting, saying, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. If you'll begin to give a testimony, you're going to give me something to work with. So tonight I want to talk to you on the subject of the power of a testimony. The power, the blood never loses its power. But I want to talk to you for a little bit on the power of a testimony. Now, do you know that this fine week that you and I have spent on this planet, do you know that there have been men and there have been women in the court systems of our country that the judge knew that they were guilty? He knew this guilty. The prosecutor knew that they were guilty. The defense lawyer knew that they were guilty. The courtroom knew that they were guilty, but they walked free out of that courtroom. And you know why some of them did? You know why some of them walked free? Because they didn't have anybody that could testify against the criminal. Do you know, friend of mine, there are some things that will never happen in our lives until we begin to give God some evidence to work with. I want the power of a testimony to begin to impact my mind where I can figure out, you know what, this isn't all just about God. This is about me making up my mind. It's time for me to open my mouth and to begin to give some evidence in this thing called the world of living for God. Can I tell you, this Bible is full of instances where people said, I'm thankful for everything God's done, but I'm going to do something myself. And when they began to give their testimony, it activated something in the spirit world. Now, one day I decided that I'm going to look up this chapter and I'm going to study it in the original language. So on my computer, I've got a Bible program, and you can break this word down, and every single word, you can look at it in the original Greek or Hebrew that it was written in. So I get my little old Bible computer, and I'm looking for something that I'm just thinking, you know, there's got to be more in this verse than I'm reading. There's got to be something powerful hidden in here. So I began to type it out, or I began to put it in there, and it said, and they overcame him. I thought, well, I'm going to look at that word overcame. So I punched that word up, and that word in the Hebrew, for all of you that are scholars, is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, number 3528. It comes from the Greek word, this word overcame. It comes from the Greek word N-I-K-A-O, Nikeo. And here's what it means. It means to conquer, to subdue, to overcome, to prevail, to get the victory. And then on my Bible program, I got a little button, I can punch it and it'll toggle over from Strong's over to Thayer's. So I punched the button, it toggled over to Thayer's. And here's what Thayer's had to say about that word overcame. When one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case. I thought, well, you know, that's good. That's good. And so, but you know what? Every Greek word that I found, just about every one of them, has a root word that one came from. So I punched the program and it backed me up. And I began to look at, for you that are scholars, Strong's number 3529. And the word that came up might be familiar to some of you, maybe some of the young people, but it's a word that is spelt N-I-K-E. That's some things that cost $150 you put on your feet. So this word overcame, literally, in the original. It goes back and it is the word Nike. And it means conquest, the means of success or victory. So that's what the word overcame actually means. So I read on down through there, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I got to thinking, you know, if I'm going to preach about a testimony, I might ought to find out at least what it means from the dictionary at least. So I pulled open my dictionary, and here's what that word testimony means. When one or what one testifies before a judge to present evidence as in a court of law. So literally the word testimony there means when you begin to present evidence before the Lord. Do you realize that all of the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Do you realize that God sets one up and he puts another one down? Do you realize that God said in his word, and I said over at the basest kind of men, talking about worlds and planets and nations or whatever, but I'm telling you right now, friend of mine, I found out that when I begin to open my mouth and begin to give testimony, that it makes a difference in God's court. So I found out that sometimes you need to learn how to open your mouth and give testimony. Look at Daniel chapter number 3 and verse number 16. You know the story. The Bible says that the king built this great image. And after he built this great image, he gets everybody out there that's anybody, and he tells them, when you hear all the musical instruments play, then I want you to begin to bow down and begin to worship this great image that I have set up. And so they played their music, and as they played their music, everybody fell on the ground except three men. And this was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's in Daniel chapter number 3, I believe it is. Daniel chapter number 3. I want you to watch this in verse number 10. Let's back up a little bit. Let's look at verse number 13. This is Daniel chapter number 3. And verse number 13, I want you to watch this. And the Bible says, and when Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them and said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, He says, I'm going to give you a second chance. Can I tell you, young people, the devil will always give you a second chance. Can I just say something to this church tonight? Moss Bluff, hear me. I don't care how many times somebody came in this church over the tenure that you've been here and prayed through and threw their cigarettes away and threw their alcohol away and threw their drugs away and said, I'm not going back to the bar anymore. You know what? If they change their mind this week or next Saturday night, they fall off the wagon. You know what? When they go back to that bar, then people are not going to stand in the door and say, whoa, hold on a minute. You had your chance. You backslid from drinking. We ain't letting you back in here again. Can you see the devil doing that? I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many times they pray through and repent. Honey, if they do it 10 times a week and get right with God, if they go back to that devil, he's going to say, man, let's throw a party for you. Honey, if the devil can do that much for a backslider, what in the name of God did the church do? I'm telling you, we ought to love them. We ought to pour out forgiveness on them. We ought to say we're going to have at least as much of love and acceptance as the devil's got for those that backslide from him. So he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play this music one more time, and I'm going to give you a chance to dance. He said, now if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made? Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And just about that time, one of them old boys throwed his hand up in the air and said, hold on. We want to give a testimony. And right there in front of God and everybody, they begin to give a testimony that eventually led to their freedom and a miraculous interaction by the Lord. Listen to what they said. They said, listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I wonder what would happen if every time somebody in this church got a dire prognosis or a dire report from the doctor. I wonder what would happen if you just begin to open your mouth and say, I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. I wonder what would happen if you begin to say, you are the Lord that healeth me. I wonder what would happen if you begin to say, by his stripes, we were healed. I wonder what would happen if we begin to say, he bore all my sicknesses in his own body. I'm telling you, there's power in a testimony if you'll but give it before the Lord. Somebody clap your hands to God right now. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout to the Lord. So sometimes all the Lord is really wanting is somebody that will give a testimony. Now, I need to know something. How many of you have ever read or heard preached about the old boys named Paul and Silas that happened to show up in Acts 16? Anybody ever heard that story about Paul and Silas in jail? One day I was sitting in front of that same computer, and I pulled up that PC study Bible, and I began to look over that particular portion of Scripture. I began to break it down in the original, and if you'd put Acts 16 and verse number 25 up there, Acts 16 and verse number 25. And the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Next verse. And how long? How long did it take? And the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great what? And it happened suddenly. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And how long? The Bible says, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. It happened suddenly and it happened immediately. And it happened when these guys started singing. Now, I don't know how many of you have a curious mind like mine is, but I begin to wonder because I've heard preachers preach. Man, listen, I heard a guy one night, he was taking great liberty. He said, you know, he said, old Paul and Silas, when they was in that prison singing, he said, they were singing when the saints go marching in. Well, I never could find where it said that the saints go marching in had anything to do with that particular event. But you know what? I've seen people absolutely stretch it a little bit to try to figure out what were they singing. Have any of you tried to figure out what they're singing, by the way? Well, listen, here's what I did. I got my Bible program, and I popped it open, and I began to look in Strong. I began to go down that particular verse. Back up one verse. And I began to look at this, and it says, and at midnight, I'm looking for something really juicy, okay? I'm thinking, man, there's going to be something here. And look at this. I started down through there, and it said, at midnight. How many of you know what midnight means in the original? It means, and I thought, here it goes. I looked at it, and it said, in the middle of something. Well, mid, M-I-D, means the middle of something. The rest of it means night. Well, we struck out there. So I went on down through the verse, and it said, and Paul and Silas, Paul and Silas prayed, and I looked up that word prayed, and it simply means to give supplication to God. That means they prayed. I said, well, not a whole lot there. So I went on, and it says, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And when I popped that up on the screen in the original, that word sang praises, those two words there, those two words were brought down into one. And literally, the word of God, when it says, and they sang praises, it literally, when I pulled it up in the original and in my Bible computer, it says, this is the meaning, the singing of the great Hallel. H-A-L-L-E-L. I thought, what is the great Hallel? So I pulled up my computer and I said, I want to know what the great Hallel is. You know what I found out? They actually, at that point right there in that verse, they began to sing a hymn out of the hymnal. Now, how many of you understand that the hymnal is the Psalms that we get in the book of Psalms? That's literally the hymnal of the Jewish people. They sing them to this day. That particular one they were singing is called the Great Hallel. And literally, here's what it means. It means, it starts in verse, in 113, and it goes all the way through 118, and then Psalm 136. So I thought, well, I wonder what the words of that are. So here's what I did. Now, you can't pull up two verses at once, can you? Can't do that? Okay, everybody remember, what were they doing? They were singing at midnight. And what happened in 26? I want you to watch. Get this in your mind. Verse number 26. And how long did it, what's the first thing it said? And what? While they were singing that great Hallel, something happened, and the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And what? Immediately, everyone's bands were loosed. So I knew what had happened in the story in Acts 16. So when I began to pull up Psalm 113, pull up 113, I'll tell you what. I need somebody that can sing a little bit. Brother Pugh, you got a good singer in here? Somebody that's got it? Who? Now, has he got any, can he put some real soul into this? We need some. Well, we're lacking that part. Well, come on down here, brother. But have you ever heard the Jews sing when they sing those little psalms? Have you heard? It sounds kind of. It sounds kind of funny to me. Get you a mic, brother. Come up here. How many of y'all think this man can do it? All right. Okay, I'm going to help him. My voice is a little weak. Come over here, brother. Get up here. You got to help me preach Sunday night. Now be careful about looking at that right there. That's powerful stuff right there. You be careful right there. Whew. All right, here we go. Now they started singing with Psalm 113. And now, have you ever heard those Jews sing? You know how they sound? Okay, can you sound like that?
You can try.
Okay, you try. If you'll do all right. Start right there. Start right there at 1:13 and 1.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord.
Keep going. You're doing good.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
Now listen, this is exactly what Paul and Silas were doing with the stocks and bonds on their feet, with their backs broken and bleeding, and they decided, I tell you what, we don't have much to give a testimony about, but you know what, when I don't have a testimony, I'm going to start singing about something out of the old hymnal.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Honey, if you got one of the old hymnals, don't throw it away. Get it out and brush the dust off of it and use it a little bit once in a while.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now listen, these are the exact words that those men sang that night in that jailhouse. The exact words of what our brother's saying. All right, come on, let's go a little further. All right, now we're going to skip the rest of 13. Give him a little break, you know. I don't want to make it too hard on him. But we're going to come down here to 1:14. Put 1:14 and 1 up there. Start right there at 1:14.
When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, thou that fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou was driven back, ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs.
Are you ready? Watch this verse. Look at this verse. Sing it.
Tremble thou earth.
Hold on. Read that again. I didn't hear you.
Tremble thou earth.
You better read it again.
Tremble thou earth.
Somebody saying suddenly.
Suddenly.
There was a great earthquake.
Hallelujah.
You know what God did? He said, if they're good enough to sing it, I'm good enough to make it happen. My God, I wish somebody in here would say, I don't feel real good, but I've got a testimony. Somebody ought to get happy. Somebody ought to rejoice and say, God, I will give a testimony.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God. Now put that back to Acts 16:25 again. Now watch this. Watch. Let's make sure we got this right. Acts 16. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God in the prison. Heard verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. What do you think Paul and Silas thought when they were opening their mouths and they got to that line and they said, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know who it is, but I believe somebody in this house tonight, God is waiting on you just to give a little bit of testimony. And he is the judge. And he wants to rule in your favor.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Somebody ought to clap your hands and shout to God.
Praise you, God.
All right, go back to Psalm 114. You can sit down. 114 and 7. Come on, brother. They need to get the rest of that verse right there.
Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob.
And the Bible says when they sang that, and he in Acts 16 and 26, it says there was an earthquake that shook that entire prison. What was the next thing? Go back to Acts 25 and or 16 and 26. Now watch this. What's the next thing that happened? And suddenly there was a great earthquake. That's what happened when they said, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. So that the Bible says there was a great, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately what happened?
Doors were open.
What if I can show you in chronological order as they go through the verses of the great Hillel that what God did in real time in Acts was simply a result of what they were singing verse by verse and line by line out of the old hymnal. Hey, listen to me. When I saw this for the very first time, nobody showed it to me. Nobody, I didn't hear it on a tape. I didn't see it on a CD. I was sitting at my desk punching that Bible program on that computer. And listen to me. I knew what it said had happened in the book of Acts. And I just pulled over and started reading through Psalm 113 through 118. When I read that and it said, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, I said, whoa. I pulled that back over and I looked over in Acts 16. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. I said, no way. I pull it back like that and it said, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. I said, my God in heaven. I've wondered all my life what them old boys sang. I'm telling you, this is what they sang. And this is what happened when they sang. Can I tell you, I've got good news. If God had staged a jailbreak in Acts, he'll break you out of your prison in 19. Right now, where we're living right now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, sit down, sit down, sit down. Somebody say earthquake number one.
Earthquake number one.
Okay, now number two is everybody's bands were loosed. Everybody's bonds were broke off of them. Come over here, brother. Let's look a little more. Okay, we're going to skip 115 because I don't want to overtax my brother. So, why don't you start right there in verse 14? Now this is Psalm 116 and verse 14. Psalm 116, verse 14.
I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people.
Next verse.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Get ready.
Oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds.
Whoa. He did what?
Thou hast loosed my bonds.
One more time.
Thou hast loosed my bonds.
And in a Philippian jail, all of a sudden chains started rattling. Doors started creaking open. Oh, God, I'm telling somebody, if you'll begin to give a testimony, God's going to break you out of your prison. All he needs is somebody that'll testify.
Hallelujah.
Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. Now, tell me something. How many of you remember what the next event was that happened in this story? Anybody remember? How about a jailkeeper grabs a light and comes running in, and he's dragging a sword out, getting ready to plow it in his heart. Paul and Silas say, whoa, we're all here. Everything's cool. And the Bible said he came and fell down before them and said, what must I do to be saved? So you know what? For this to be a real revelation, of where chronologically as people sang an old hymnal, it literally actually happened by the hand of God. We got to see some salvation in these next few verses.
Yeah.
If this is going to be a true revelation, we got to see some salvation happen. All right? So let's watch. Let's go to Psalm 118. Oh, yeah. Look at this. 118 and 13. Oh, it's going down there to 14. 118 and 14. Look what it says.
The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation.
And when they sang that, conviction hit the heart of that old Philippian jailer, and he ran in there and fell down. But you know what? He had a wife and a kid. Because when they sang it, immediately conviction hit them in the book of Acts, and they began to say, what must I do to be saved? But there was more than one that needed salvation. That's why there's more than one thing about salvation in here. What does it say? Read it one more time, the last one.
The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation.
All right, we need another one on salvation. Read the next verse.
The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly.
21, listen.
And I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation.
When they said, tremble thou earth, the ground shook. When they began to sing a little further and said, thou hast loosed my bonds, prison doors swang open. And when they began to sing salvation, here come a Philippian jailer. And that night, he baptized them in Jesus' name. And they got the Holy Ghost. And he took care of all their wounds. I'm telling somebody, you can reverse what the devil's doing if you'll just get a testimony.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Woo, let's all stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Dear God, so you know what? You now know what they sang, and you now know what happened when they sang it. Now, that's all great. We talked about Paul and Silas. We talked about the Hebrew boys. Talked about all that stuff. But you know what? What about right now? What about in our day and time? Have you got anything? Oh, that reminds me. Here's another thing I've been taught. I've been taught that for it to be a revelation, it's got to be in the least two or three witnesses out of the Word of God. So you know what I did? I started looking up that word from which is translated. It's hymneo is the word. It's translated the singing of the great Hallel. Listen to this. I looked in my Bible and it's in there in one other place. It's in Matthew 26 and verse number 30. Matthew 26 and verse 30. And the Bible says that when they had... It says, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This is the night that Jesus was crucified. All right, they sang that song. Look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 50. Just the next chapter, 27 and 50. Jesus, when he had died again, cried again with a loud voice, and yielded up the ghost. Next verse. What does that say? What does it say? And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You know what that means? Earthquake. This is the second time that people sang the great Hallel, and what they sang actually began to happen real time as they were singing it. You know what I think God's trying to do? He's trying to get it in somebody's head. I don't care how bound you feel. I don't care how bound you look. If you begin to give a testimony, testimony. I will rule in your favor. Somebody said, well, Brother Shaw, well, okay, so that's an earthquake. What about the bands being broken? Well, just read a little further in that chapter, and you know what you'll find? And the Bible says, and many of the saints which slept, who was more bound than the saints in the prison of death? And the Bible said, many of the saints arose and lived and walked through the streets of Jerusalem when that happened. That's what I call a miracle from God. Somebody said, well, Brother Shaw, well, where's the outpouring, that salvation stuff? It's kind of like this. Not too many days after that, the Bible says, and they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon them. And what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I'm telling you right now that God hears testimony. Do you know what Abraham said to God when he was dealing with God about Lot and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, Lord, surely you won't destroy Sodom if they chewed him all the way down to 10 people. And then finally, Abraham makes this statement. He said, it's not like you, God, to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And here's what he said. Surely the God of all, the judge of all the earth will do right. Surely the judge of all the earth will do right. So you know what? God sent two angels into the city of Sodom. And you know what those two angels did? They said to Lot, have you got any sons or sons-in-laws anywhere in this city? Get them out of here, because this place is fixing to be destroyed. Watch this. Lot went to his sons-in-laws and he shook them and said, come on, guys, you got to get out of here. And the Bible said they laughed at him and mocked about what he was saying. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the angels laid hold on Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. Pull back just a little bit. Pull back. And they had to drag them out of Sodom. Can I remind you that Lot went there of his own free will? He was there by choice. But yet because of a relative that loved him's prayers, God physically drug him out of that sin place that he was living in. And then when I read the scripture that says, I am the Lord, I change not, I want to give a mama, I want to give a grandma some, I want to give a grandpa a little bit of hope. If God would drag Lot out of a Sodom and Gomorrah, he'll grab your babies and drag them out of a crack house and drag them out of a drug den and drag them out of a bar somewhere. If he did it for Abraham and Lot, he'll do it for your babies. So, here's what we're going to do. If you come, put your hands on my back. This is a symbol of a momentary transfer of authority in this church that your man of God is placing upon me. And with his authority on my back, I make a declaration right now with his authority on my back that this building is no longer just the Moss Bluff United Pentecostal Church, but I say that this building right now has now been transformed into the court of Almighty God. And listen to me. And according to the Word of God, and according to the authority placed on my back by your man of God, I say that no longer is this just a church, it's now a court. And I say that right now that the books are opened and it's ready for somebody to present evidence in the court of Almighty God. Come on, everybody in this building that's got some evidence. Would you step out of your pew? Would you walk down to the front? And would you raise your hands and begin to give evidence right now? Come on, somebody. Would you say, God, you're going to bring my baby home? God, you're going to bring my lost boy home? Come on, somebody say it. God, you're going to break my financial bondage. Somebody say it right now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Church, listen. Look here for just a second. Look up just a second. A boy in the church at home. A boy in the church at home. He worked as an electrician. And he was up in the rafters just about as high as the peak of this building. Concrete four floor below him. Hot summertime, and he got so hot, they told him you need to take a break. He got so hot that he passed out up there in those trusses where he was stringing wire and fell limp about the distance from there to the floor and landed head first on that concrete. It crushed the side of his head. Literally, his scalp was broken, crushed about five times right across the side of his head. You know what I watched? I watched him lay in a hospital bed thinking this dude ain't coming out. When they take them tubes loose, he's out of here. But all of a sudden the door opened, and into that ICU unit came his mama. His mama walked to the side of that bed. She raised her hands like this and she said, God, my boy will not die. He will not die. And she prayed it, and she prayed it, and she prayed it, and she prayed it. And you know what? He's a part of the United Pentecostal Church in Okemah today, trying to live for God, trying to please the Lord. I'm trying to tell somebody that all God needed was somebody to offer a little bit of evidence. Listen to me. Listen to me, when I picked the phone up that day, when I picked it up, it was a grandma. And that grandma was absolutely beside herself. I said, what has happened? What has happened? I finally got her to calm down enough where I could understand her. She said, my two grandbabies were in the bedroom. Their mama didn't know anything about gun safety and left a loaded gun out. 22 long rifle, high velocity shells. Two kids and they're playing. A third one came in the room and one of them picked that pistol up, and from about this far away another one grabbed for it, and the shell went off, entered the brain somewhere on this side of the head and came out over here on this side of the head. And that grandma called me and said, Rochelle, well, I'm on my screen, I'm crying. She said, I'm on my way to the hospital. And when I got to that hospital, I walked in there, met the mama in the waiting room. They finally gave us permission and we went in there. You know what they had done? You know what that hospital did? When they looked at that boy's entry wound and exit wound and the bone fragments shattered and blown into his skull, literally parts of his brain pulverized from the passing of that 22 high velocity long rifle shell. You know what they did? They got gauze. And they went around and around and around. They didn't clean the entry wound. They didn't clean the exit wound because they knew the kid was dead, about 5 years old. I walk in there. They got tubes down his throat. They look. They said, listen, ma'am, if the kid could live, which he can't, he's breathing by the machine. But if he could live, that bullet, when it went through, it completely and totally vaporized and destroyed, pulverized all the motor skills that run the left side of his body. He'd be a vegetable. I knew this. We walk in there and I take his mom and I said, get around on that other side, and I'll never forget it. She took that little baby's five-year-old hand. He's in a complete coma. Machine's keeping him alive. She took his little old hand. She wrapped it around her finger, that right hand. That left hand on that left side where the doctor said, they're never, the lobe is gone. So she's holding that side. I'm holding the other side. But here's what had happened. On my way up to the hospital, you know what I did? I did something I don't ever remember doing. I was on my way up there and I said, now, Jesus, I've got a question. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do? And the Lord spoke back to me and he said, say these words when you stand over that baby's bed. So I stepped up to the side of that bed. And his name was David. I looked, and this is exactly what I did, because this is what Jesus told me to say. I pointed my finger right in his little face and I said, David, I say unto you, live. Live, I say unto you, and not die. I say you will live and not die in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when I had got those words out of my mouth, his mama on the other side of the body started screaming to the top of her lungs, screaming and screaming. Can I tell you, it didn't take them long to get us out of that ICU unit. They ran us out of there. I finally got the mama to calm down enough where I could talk to her. She said, Brother Shatwell, when you said those words, my baby started squeezing my finger with his left hand. You know what God needed? He just needed somebody that would give a testimony and present a little bit of evidence. And what I did when I stepped in there, all I was saying was, we serve a God that can still raise from the dead. I'm telling somebody, it ain't over just because it looks like it's over. God might be sitting at the desk. He might have the black robes on. But what he's doing, he's waiting on you to give him evidence that he can rule in your favor on. Long story short, as soon as we got through praying and came out, it wasn't but maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes at the most. And here come a doctor out. He came up to us and he said to the family, he said, listen, he said, there's been some changes. God, he said, there's been some changes. He said, because of certain changes, we've decided that we're going to go ahead and clean the entry wound and exit wound. Don't get your hopes up, but we feel like there's enough changes that we feel like we need to do that. They took him into surgery, cleaned the entry wound, the exit wound. He laid there in ICU for just a few days. Long story short, 21 days later, my boy was littler at that time. We walked into the room, the private room where that boy was, and I sat there in the chair and I watched as those two boys with little old trucks run up and down the side of that bed, playing and hollering and jumping and screaming like any two little old boys would do. And to my knowledge, that boy is perfectly healthy to this day. And all he needed was somebody that would offer a little bit of testimony. So, church, I challenge you. I challenge you tonight. Don't let hell, life, and the world dictate what you do and what you say. Why don't you speak faith? What would cause a little lady that held a boy on her lap and watched him breathe his last breath? What would cause her to lay him up on a bed and start saying this kind of stuff? It shall be well. And when she gets to the prophet, she's saying, it is well. You know what? Somewhere that little lady learned, if I'll just offer a little bit of testimony, I got a feeling I'm going to activate the glory and the power of the judge of all the earth. Oh, God. So, I challenge this church. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. You got a man of God that's hungry. He's hungry. He's hungry to lead you to places in Jesus where everything that's in that Bible is yours. He wants to take you there. Get behind this man of God and help him. Make it easy for him to get to the place to where you can be everything that God wants you to be. Let's raise our hands and let's love the Lord right now.